I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Mastering Mondays podcast, brought to you by No More Bad Mondays. Today, we're excited to have Ziggy Zulueta join us as one of only 300 or so Microsoft AI MVPs and the only Microsoft AI MVP in the Philippines. Ziggy brings a unique perspective to our conversation. Let's explore the future of AI, its current applications, and the challenges and opportunities it presents. Ziggy, it's great to have you here. We actually had Tony Cua on the show a few weeks back, who's a fellow MVP from the Philippines. He talked about his journey and amazing work he's doing with Microsoft Power BI. Could you tell us a bit about your journey in the world of AI and how you became a Microsoft AI MVP?
I've been in AI for quite a long time. In fact, to be honest, my thesis was in AI, and my age is going to come up here, but my thesis was like 20 years ago. So that was in 2001. And my thesis was about a ball and beam balancing system. So back in the day, I mean, that would have been a very complicated solution to solve. But these days, it's just a toy that you would buy off the shelf. And it was using computer vision. I had the machine set up, wherein you had this camera connected to the computer, and then the camera had to detect where the ball was in a beam, and then the computer had to do some manipulation in the image to determine where the ball was, and then from there determine using a motor. So the computer was connected to a motor, and the motor is connected to the beam. The motor had to, you know, balance the ball in the beam. No? And back in the day when I had a Pentium 200, so 200 megahertz, had a floppy disk, a 512 megabyte
power. You had all that power.
Yeah, I had all that power, and yeah, I mean, I was able to solve the problem. The beam was balancing the ball in roughly around 4 seconds, and then it got published in an IEEE journal. But yeah, I mean, that was cutting edge back then. But now it's something that you'd buy as a toy off the shelf. So that's where my journey started in AI. I then went into Microsoft actually during the pandemic. Well, sorry, 2 years before the pandemic, I was into Microsoft technologies, but I wasn't yet into AI. It was during the pandemic that, you know, I started to learn courses on AI. But at that time, it was isn't really that popular as well. Actually, you know, 2001, it wasn't popular. During the pandemic, it wasn't really that popular too. So I started learning all of these AI stuff, and then I provided talks, and no one was showing up on those talks. It was really during the time when ChatGPT came out that all of a sudden people are starting to bring AI into the discussion. But yeah, previous to ChatGPT, when I bring up AI, it's like, what the hell is that? It's like, no one even want to be interested in that.
So you've been waiting 20 years for everyone else to catch up, basically.
Yeah. Because 20 years ago, I mean, one was that the technology was really, really in the infancy stages. I mean, the hardware. So obviously the computers aren't as fast. Data wasn't, I mean, when you create all of these AI models, you need a lot of data. And if you have a floppy drive that's just 512 megabytes, it's like there's not much data that you can get versus what you can get these days, right? And algorithms are much faster now. So those are the, you know, things that would affect why AI is better. But then again, as I mentioned, ChatGPT was the one that really democratized everything and put everything in AI in everyone's consciousness.
Can you share some examples of how Copilot is perhaps being used in real-world scenarios and what industries that you think are really going to see or already seeing the most significant benefits?
Well, when you mention Copilot is actually a Microsoft term. If you look at it, it's something that Microsoft somehow invented. It's a Copilot. It's like a chatbot, an AI, generative AI application that they embedded in all of their products. So you have Microsoft 365 Copilot for Microsoft 365, rather, wherein with that product, it's embedded in Microsoft 365. So yeah, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, Microsoft Teams. There's an embedded Copilot there, embedded chat application, wherein with Word, you can summarize your documents. With Excel, you can chat with your Excel data. With Microsoft Teams, you can summarize meetings, and so on and so forth. Then you have Copilot for Power Platform. So with Power Platform, you have Power Apps, Power BI, which Tony mentioned, Power Pages, Power Automate. So all of these, so Power Apps would be to create a mobile app. So with Copilot for Power Apps, it will help you create a mobile application. For Power Automate is to help you create automations. Copilot for Power Automate will be able to help you create all of these automations with just natural language. And then Microsoft also has Dynamics. Within Dynamics, there's a CRM and ERP component. So in CRM, you have customer service, you have sales, you have marketing. So each of the co-pilots in each of these CRMs, actually helping customer service representatives, for example, make summaries out of their cases with customers. With marketing people and with sales people, with Dynamic Sales, for example, it's supposed to help you create sales plans and to summarize your sales records. So it's really a whole, a lot of use cases, depending on what product you use. And then Microsoft even has Azure AI, so which I'm focused on, wherein with Azure AI, you can practically create all of these models from scratch. So all of the things that I mentioned previously, so Copilot for Microsoft 365, Power Platform, and Dynamics, they're all end products. So all you need to do is to buy the product, and then you have an embedded Copilot AI application there. You'll just use it, and it'll help you do your business. With Microsoft Azure, you can create all of these from scratch. So those are, you know, and then from scratch, what are the use cases for that? Typically, all of the customers that come to me would more delve on how they use ChatGPT for my own business data. So a lot of people are using ChatGPT right now, and they say that, I read articles that it can pass the bar exam, that you can pass an IQ test. I want this ChatGPT right now to be an expert on my own business data. So with Azure AI, you can do that stuff. So you have your business data, which is not in the cloud, because right now, if you look at it, all of these chat applications, ChatGPT, Gemini, they're all trained on AI, on internet data. So they've been trained on all the data that's publicly available. But you as a company, all of your data is privately held in some location, some remote location, wherever that be. You want an application that will be an expert on your data. So what will happen is you'll probably feed that data into a system like Azure AI, be an expert to it, and then from there can start asking questions. So there's really a whole lot of use cases that generative AI is actually being used right now. And we're just talking about generative AI, because if you look at it, the AI that I've been working on 20 years ago was not even generative AI. So that was computer vision and using machine learning. So AI is a whole gamut of different technologies. It's just Gen AI that's been, you know, really, really popular these days.
That's interesting. You mentioned Dynamics. Obviously, Azure is the super fascinating one because it's so freeform. I think this is the first time that someone has mentioned how Copilot, how those agents exist within Dynamics. What's your experience with those, Iggy? Are they quite powerfully embedded within Dynamics? Do they really, really add something to, for example, the CRM package?
Actually, that's a good question. I've actually trained a client on the co-pilots of Dynamics recently. So it's really based on what product you actually are using. So for example, customer service. So a typical customer service representative would have to go to Dynamics and then see what is the actual status of the customer case. So with the Copilot embedded in the application, you'll be able to see a summary quickly of what all the activities have been doing for that specific client. If a lot of emails have been, you know, passed back and forth, a lot of calls and a lot of meetings have been held, you have a Copilot that will automatically summarize what is the status of that case. So all the activities done. So that's one. Second one is with regards to the customer issue. So let's say there's a specific issue on a specific product. You have a knowledge base based on that product. So Copilot will automatically generate a response, well, generate a solution for you based on what the summary is of that actual issue. So that's one. And then the third one is to generate an email. So one is to know the summary of the case. One is to determine what is the possible root cause and how to solve it. And then the third one is to generate an email to tell the customer, here's how we solve the problem. And then there's also a component. So Dynamics 365 Customer Service is an omnichannel solution, meaning you can get cases not only from the phone, but also through chat. So every time you're chatting, for example, with a client in real time, so let's say somebody is making a customer complaint in real time, you'll be able to see what is the actual solution to the problem. So for example, let's say for the purpose of the example, if somebody's making a complaint that their phone is not working because, I don't know, they tried to update the software, all of a sudden the system, based on that chat discussion, we'll try to find the knowledge base to figure out what is the actual solution to that problem immediately. So that's embedded on customer service, for example. There's so many more with sales, with marketing, and I didn't even discuss about ERP, so the finance and operation side of that stuff. No? So it's something that Microsoft is really working on to embed all of those generative AI tools in the product.
So, as you mentioned, you've got AI embedded into all your Microsoft products, you know, which is Microsoft Copilot. I want to dig in a little about the responsibilities that organizations have when implementing AI solutions, Copilot, etc. What should they be considering?
Microsoft had this 6 responsible AI principles. So, one would be, for example, fairness. So we want to ensure that when outputs are provided, there is no bias with regards to certain groups. There's no hate speech with regards to certain demographics. There's no bias to any gender. So that's one. That's fairness. Second one would be reliability and safety. So we want to ensure that, you know, when these applications provide an output, especially for very sensitive cases, let's say for an autonomous vehicle, you want your system to be operating 24/7, because if there's some issue that occurs in which a use case was not encountered, a collision would occur, and you know there, a loss of life would occur. So that's just one thing that when creating these solutions, you need to have reliability and safety. Third one would be data privacy and security. So data privacy has been there for quite a while, but the thing is with AI, it's becoming more magnified because AI has been collecting a lot of private information. In other words, if you're going to be having an AI application that's collecting this data, you need to make sure that these applications do not get hacked and the data resides, for example, for GDPR there in the US. GDPR. You need to ensure that your data is residing in the proper location. For Europe, the data has to be just there in Europe. So there are a lot of compliance requirements with regards to handling all of these data and to ensure that your data does not get hacked. So that's on data privacy and security. Fourth one would be on inclusivity. So you want to make sure that the application is accessible to a lot of people. So you don't want a specific set of people to be not be able to access the system. So for example, would be people who are disabled or impaired. They should, if a banking application, for example, is out there, it has to be accessible to all. And then you have transparency, fifth, and accountability. Transparency is to ensure that if you're using an AI application, you need to be transparent to people that, number one, we're collecting your data and we're using it for such. And number two, we're using AI in such a solution that people need to be aware that data is being collected and AI is being used and the outputs that are being provided is AI generated. And when it comes to accountability, the sixth one, if any of these things fail from 1 to 5 and there's actually a significant damage done to a specific group of people or to the user, then somebody has to be accountable, and that somebody has to do some remediation or reparation when it comes to that. So those are the six Microsoft AI principles that every company, if they're going to be using AI, they have to take into consideration those six things.
Is there any other best practices that they should be following, like perhaps like some sort of AI review panel, like regular training sessions, etc., to reduce the risk and follow these principles that you're talking about?
Yes, Microsoft has this responsible AI toolbox. So it's something that actually, now that you mentioned it, it's one thing to create an AI application, but it's another to create a responsible one. So the good thing about Microsoft is that, for example, with Azure AI Studio, it's one of the tools that Microsoft has to create a custom model. You have all of these things that, you know, the security component, the responsible AI component is embedded in the application. What do you mean by that? So, for example, if you create a generative AI solution, some open source model, if you ask it to create a bomb, for example, or to, you know, some racist or sexual in nature, it's probably going to pass the system. But with Microsoft, if you use the Microsoft product, it's embedded there. So there's actually filters already, and there's actually built-in responsible AI tools already available. In fact, if you don't do anything, the system will immediately filter those. So on one end, if you use a Microsoft product, the security, the responsible AI principles are embedded already there. But the others, of course, you need to get the training. So I mentioned about the responsible AI toolbox. And with that, you'll be able to apply all of those six principles when creating these applications.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about transparency and about how that's important. So my question is, do you have any thoughts on how organizations might best communicate the limitations and potential biases of AIs as they're used within their systems? And I was wondering whether there may be some similar process in line with perhaps GDPR in the sense of a requirement to make declarations as to how AIs are being used within any particular system.
Yeah, I mean, the typical, you know, you need to communicate to the users that you're using AI. So, for example, one example would be Copilot. So, before you actually start using it for the first time, there's going to be a checkbox wherein you need to be, they'll make you aware that AI is going to be used. So, that's one. And for every reply that Copilot provides, they say that it's actually AI generated. So there's a statement there that, okay, this output is AI generated and it may have, what do you call this? It may be false, no? And the good thing about Copilot now is every time it makes a response, or I'm talking about Copilot chat, every time it makes a response, it will provide a specific citation. So from there, you can verify the citation to see if the AI is even generating the correct response based on that citation. So those are, you know, just the basic key points on making people aware on that AI is being used for an application.
Based on your experience, is there a piece of advice that you would give businesses and schools, colleges, etc., that they're already using AI, but they want to kind of take it to the next level and sort of make sure that they are maximizing it and using it to kind of the best of its possibilities right now? Like, how can they go from sort of an amateur or a starter on AI to taking that to the next level and really, you know, running with AI in their organization?
One way to do it is to learn more about prompting. So I guess because a lot of people that I've been seeing have been using it, but they're not using it properly because they haven't been prompting the AI tool properly. So I would provide an analogy on having a bad director in a movie. There are lots of directors in movies, but there are some that are Oscar winning, and then there's some that are, you know, not within that level. And at the end of the day, it's imagine that the app, the tool, is an intern. And if you're not providing it the proper, you know, instruction, it's not going to provide the right response. But if you are able to provide the proper instructions, then it's really going to be an expert for you. So at the end of the day, it's still you. That's why it's called the co-pilot. It's you running the show, you being able to prompt it effectively for it to provide the best response. So that's one thing that people still need to figure out. And it's actually more of an art than a science, based on your specific business domain, rather. In fact, if anyone can use the tool, but if you don't have the business domain, you will not be able to verify even if the outputs are correct. But if you know your business, you know your stuff, and then you're providing outputs and you know that it's not providing it properly, then you refine your prompts in order to get the better result. Then that's where, not only education, but everyone in business will succeed or will get AI to the next level.
Yeah, I think prompts are a really important point. I mean, it's really easy to go into Copilot or ChatGPT and, say to it, rewrite this email, and it will do that, and it will do probably an okay job. But if you get your prompts right and get them spot on, you can really come out with something, exceptional and completely different to a very basic standard prompt. I've seen with a lot of people, actually, that they've almost already become a bit lazy with prompts and perhaps, trying to say as little as possible, like, rewrite this email, instead of really kind of like going into depths of what you're trying to get out of it. So it's definitely really important to get those prompts right. And just kind of on that, I've seen lots of software available outside of Microsoft where you can purchase this software for school, for example, and it's basically just kind of like a library of prompts. So it would tell you how to make lesson plans, for example. Do you think they're worth organizations looking at and using, or do you think actually it's better if, as an organization, they learn how to create the best prompts themselves instead of kind of leaning on someone that's already made them for them?
There are some prompts that you can reapply, but it really would depend on your use case. If your use case is not applicable to the others, then obviously you need to create your own. But I do see some benefit in reapplying for basic use cases. So it really depends.
I've got a question for you, Ziggy. So obviously, when you started off with your experiments a little while back, you may not have envisaged quite where we would be 10 years down the line. What are you most looking forward to in terms of what AI can accomplish? What is the thing that makes you think, wow, when we get there, that's going to really be something?
To be honest, I haven't thought about that. But right now it's really more of a fad right now. We're not yet there in the sense that everyone's using it to the fullest, but I can imagine it becoming really something that will, it is one thing I would give an analogy here would be like 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. When you need to put in your resume that you need to become computer literate. So you need to know Word, Excel, or document processing rather, Excel spreadsheet processing, and so on and so forth. I can imagine that in the next few years, putting in your resume that you're AI literate would be a game changer for you in the marketplace. So hopefully that's something that eventually people it will come into fruition. In terms of what AI will do, it's really sky's the limit. I've been reading a lot of things as it's occurring, so I haven't thought about that yet, to be honest.
Do you know, your last point is quite amusing, actually. The idea that, you have to say you're AI, that you're AI literate. I wonder whether we'll be putting in our job applications for both ourselves and our AI trained specifically for us, you know, so it'll be a joint application. You get me and you get my AI.
And I was going to touch on that same point. I mean, I was recently helping out a friend who's really good with AI, writing their resume, their CV. And yeah, they don't really mention that in their CV, that they're kind of, you know, outstanding or great or whatever the word is with AI. So that's a really interesting point. Actually, that kind of stuff will be needed in there more and more. And yeah, Dave, I love the idea there that actually you get me and you get like my AI bot thing. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant idea. Could you share a particularly memorable project that you've worked on? So perhaps, you know, perhaps it's something for yourself or something for a client or a customer, but, you know, something you've done in the world of AI, maybe not, that you know, it's a really memorable project for you.
One thing that we haven't discussed is that I'm a LinkedIn Learning instructor. So I've been creating instructional videos for the LinkedIn Learning platform. So LinkedIn is, you probably may not know, it's a Microsoft subsidiary. And they have this platform called the LinkedIn Learning platform, wherein if you have a LinkedIn premium account, you have access to all these instructional videos, whether it be from AI, cloud computing, even to learning how to play the piano and the guitar. So LinkedIn has contracted me to create Microsoft AI videos globally. So I have two videos already out. So one is on generative AI and another is on AI document intelligence. And I'm actually flying to the US this October to create a Azure AI Essentials course. So Microsoft has a AI 900 fundamentals certification. And the feedback there was that this AI 900, so this is the entry level for within Microsoft Azure. The feedback was that it was too technical, it's not accommodating to people who are not technical in nature, who have no IT background and who want to shift careers. So LinkedIn, in partnership with Microsoft, has contracted me to create this course, wherein hopefully with this course, we'll be able to penetrate more people who are non-technical in nature. And we're going to put it in a video format, because if you look at it, Microsoft Learn is pretty much mostly text-based. You need to read through stuff. Once you read through the modules, you need to take an exam and then you get this certification. So with this LinkedIn course, Azure AI Essentials, once you finish the videos, there will be an exam. And then once you pass that exam, you'll get a certification as well, professional certification for the completion of the course. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that and hopefully be able to educate more people about Azure AI.
As someone that has recently just taken a number of Microsoft exams back to back, I welcome the idea of it being more visual and, you know, video based rather than the huge amounts of text that I had to read. That sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to be signing up for that when that's ready.
Before we wrap up, can you tell us what's your favorite Microsoft tool or feature? Something that you find, you know, particularly valuable in your work?
One right now is Azure AI Studio. So I have that's my first LinkedIn course. So building a RAG application with Azure AI. So a RAG is, in general, it's a complicated term, but in general, it's having an AI, generative AI model like ChatGPT be an expert with your data. So the previous analogy that I shared earlier was that we'd read articles about ChatGPT being an expert in the law, being able to pass the bar exam and so on and so forth. If you want to have a model that is pretty much focused on answering your business data, you have Azure AI Studio. The good thing about Azure AI Studio is that they're trying to democratize model development for everyone. You can have an application, be an expert with your business data with Azure AI Studio without having any coding knowledge. So that's one good thing about that tool. and it has responsible AI implemented in it. So it's like, if you don't know anything, you know, attach your data, but it's becoming responsible. This is the good stuff. No, so that's one favorite thing that I like. And with that tool, you're able to create applications, proof of concept to deployment to actual production very quickly.
We've got to do that, Matt. I feel inspired. Ziggy, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Mastering Mondays. Your insights have been really valuable, and it's been a great conversation. I'm excited to see how AI continues to shape our world, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much as well for inviting me over.